From Pet Cemetery by Stephen King. Cats were the gangsters of the animal world, living outside the law and often dying there. There were a great many of them who never grew old by the fire. This is Gothic. Season 5 of the Gothic Podcast may contain material not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Recording.
Recording?
Aw. I was like, what silly voice is Eric going to do?
Yeah. Eric's response to everyone else's silly voices is always recording.
Deadpan. Yeah.
No, I did a recording, beardy, hearty, beardy.
Like the Swedish chef.
Well, welcome, sojourners, to another Gothic night. Here in the Pacific Northwest, the clouds hang low, and yes, on the moors outside my window, I see at least 3 women running in nightgowns and 1 guy running in only a nightcap. I don't know what they're being chased by.
Sounds like a normal night at your house, though.
Well, it's true that this is the Portland area, and so there might not be anything chasing them whatsoever. It might just be...
They might just be frolicking.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, I haven't frolicked in forever. I need to frolic
more. I love frolicking. Yeah. We should, maybe instead of a Session Zero recording next time, we should just get together and just go frolic as like a podcast.
Just frolic.
Yeah.
Take the frolicking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just all us grass crunching sounds and us going, hoo-hoo, hee-hee, wee, ha-ha-ha.
Sojourners, if you join our Patreon, you too can get audio of us frolicking.
If we get more Patreon subscribers for that, we are going to have to schedule a frolicking event.
I'll put frolic at the $5 a month level.
The Great Gothic Frolic.
The Great Gothic Frolic. Yeah, I'll put on like a big skirt or something and go frolic in that. That's gothic, right?
So will I. There will be photos.
Oh, hell yeah. We should bring candelabras also so we can do like the running from the castle with a candelabra.
The $10 level.
Yes.
I will frolic in my kilt.
Hell yes. Perfect.
All right, sojourners. When last we left our feline adventurers, they had finally managed to gather in front of, not inside of, but nearby, Fizzy's Cozy Kitten Bookshop in Lazarus Bay, Maine. So let's just jump right on in, like a cat leaping without looking first, into our adventure as our, well, intrepid cats attempt to thwart the dark cult coven that is trying to raise Lazarus Kane, apparently, from the sea.
Let's do it.
What is Partita doing right now?
Probably. I am going to try to get some height. I'm going to try to get up on, maybe on the building itself. Actually, can we get up on the building itself? Isn't it surrounded by some kind of force field or something?
You have not ever detected a force field per se around Fizzy's.
Per se.
But as you approach it, Partita, you find yourself walking back the other direction, back toward your companions who have recently shown up.
I sit and lick my paw real fast like I meant to do that.
How do you others react to this? Because you see Partita walk toward the building and then just sort of turn around and come back.
Does the planeswalker in me recognize the planeswalker in her?
You all know that you are trying to become cats. Right. And here you are, but you might want to say something.
We didn't know what cats we were going to be.
Right.
That's true. That's true.
And there
true.
Are a lot of cats around Fizzy's.
Yeah.
So, Sloshy would say, LJ, that you?
You hear a...
Oh. Oh.
And, but in, you know, cat, you hear, dude, it's me. Gracie?
Never get
Gracie,
over that.
Where are you?
Here I am.
All right, now I know what's what. Can we get after it?
Well, I've tried, but I walked towards it, and then I walked away again, against my will.
Can we still not get in? I thought this was supposed to, like, solve the bubble of impenetrability problem.
Well, I think the big thing, of course, was trying to get here. I didn't know where you all were, and I was just knowing that we were going to Fizzy's, dude.
Well, right. Well, we're here, and we still can't get in.
Well,
we're
let's go in.
Stumped as an old tree stump.
Well, why don't you try, LJ? And
Mr. Midnight walks straight towards the door like it's going to open for him, like it's some Star Trek episode, and like face plants right into the door.
You would face plant into the door, except that you find yourself walking away from Fizzy's instead of toward it.
Oh, damn it!
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's really irritating.
So we can get closer than we could as humans, but still not get in there?
Patrick, there's a mechanic in this game. I'm trying to find the page for it, but it is something about using scent markers to remember places.
Mm-hmm. Bloosh did that last time in order to find the find Fizzy's.
Mm-hmm. What is that? What can you use that for? Can you remind me? I just can't find the...
It just lowers the difficulty level by one.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
By one level.
In the meantime, you see LJ, like, just start to, like, turn to the right and then just keep, like, heading towards the building and seeing where it bounces off. And then heading towards the building and seeing where it bounces off. Heading towards the building and seeing where about... So he's just... You see this cat, it almost looks like a drunk, like the blue Russian had way too many white Russians. just trying to find like a weak spot around the building.
I wonder how far up the field of effect goes. Can I try to climb a neighboring tree and jump onto the roof?
Certainly. And you are a cat crobat, the mm-hmm. right cat for the mm-hmm. job. So go ahead and give me 2d6.
Okay. Remind me, right cat for the job.
Do you always get one success.
Auto get a success.
Yes.
Okay. So
and
I
this
had one.
Jump is really just a normal thing anyway. So you mm-hmm. automatically will succeed. But if you get two successes, then it's even better.
Yeah. I only got one success on the dice.
Okay. So you are indeed, you climb up this nearby tree. There's one in the sidewalk in front of Fizzy's.
Mm-hmm.
And because indeed, you as cats do seem to be able to get a lot closer to Fizzy's than what you were able to as humans, as murder mavens.
Mm-hmm.
And you climb up this tree, going up quite easily. Down's always the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
Go out onto a limb and leap toward Fizzy's roof, at which point you find yourself leaping back toward the tree.
All right.
It is barely that you are able to catch on to a limb and claw your way onto it and then regain your balance. But you are able to. But it was almost as if you had leapt from the roof to the tree.
Back
you had
the tree.
Same momentum. Okay. To those on the ground, anyone watching, it's just there was a weird flip in midair as the cat crobat did some sort of weird boomerang cat action.
I did like, you know, in a video game when you jump again off the air and you can double jump.
Double
like,
jump.
It's like in Assassin's Creed or something.
Yeah.
So Sploosh wants to back up toward the door very slowly.
Like approach the building backwards?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a bad idea.
Like swishing the tail to try and like find the point where it goes wonky.
Yeah, and you were in Cadence's body last season, so that making you going backwards being the magic spell that does the thing makes a lot of sense.
Well, if that doesn't work, Sploosh is going to start throwing things at the door, like inanimate things, and maybe like if we hurl a large thing with a cat attached to it. Maybe that could, like, break the barrier and carry us through.
What if we just lit the building on fire?
Fire arrows, I like it.
Actually,
can you operate a bow?
I don't think so. I look at my thumbless hands. I think I would have to be a rabbit to be shooting flaming arrows.
Maybe if we rub our fur together real fast.
We shimmy on each other. Well, until we figure out...
Hold on. As a tiger dreamer, I can always smell when something isn't right.
Oh.
And with ease, I can comfort a human, interrupt a magic ritual, notice unnatural behavior, recognize that a pattern is mystical.
We have people doing cats doing a variety of things here. Our catcrobat, Partita, just tried her method. Now, Bloosh is also walking backwards toward the door while Mr. Midnight attempts to approach Fizzies from different angles and directions, getting kind of a feel for the, about 15-foot distance that is the barrier around the building. When you walk backwards, Sploosh, you find yourself backing back toward where you came from.
Okay.
Backing up from Fizzies. Backing up.
Is there a point where Sploosh has, like, turned into a U-shape?
Right at about 15 or 20 feet there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then, Mr. Midnight, your head rears back, and you look at the moon above, and you stand on your back legs, and you spread your front paws wide, and then you collapse into a heap on the pavement.
Oh, I run over there.
And it is good that you do so, Partita, because this is still a town, even though it is night and it's late, but a car is coming.
Oh.
And
I'm gonna
Mr. Midnight has collapsed.
Grab him by the scruff of the neck and drag him out of the road.
Okay. What about you, Sploosh? Are you doing anything to aid or still feel like you're involved in your own experiment?
Yeah, no, I guess, you know, as Sploosh comes out of her latest, like, abyss-like, snaky backing back toward the street, she definitely take that in and dart over to try and rescue Mr. Midnight.
Help me get him out of the road!
Oh, that's right.
Does this count as something in...
Something in your mouth? Yo, I can't talk through your thick fur.
I love that.
So, listeners, in this game, canonically, you have to speak around something in your mouth if you're carrying something in your mouth.
The rule of something.
Something.
Okay. I'm just looking. I can't remember if there was any way to help. I don't think there is. But if one of you fails, then the other can
try the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. Because you aren't quite getting coordinated yet. So, go ahead, Partita. This is... Mr. Midnight's not a small cat.
Uh-huh. And I am. I'm probably
and
lighter
you're
than him.
Not really the cat for the job on this.
Okay.
But I'd still say it is a normal challenge. Mm-hmm. One success is going to get you able to pull him. Two will do it pretty quick without any complications.
Okay.
And you better keep that pen between your teeth.
Yeah,
or else
thank
you. Drop me.
Yeah, I forgot. Thank you. So, remind me, with treats, can you reroll both dice or just one dice?
Treats will allow you to reroll both dice.
Okay, thank you. All right, here goes. All right, I'm going to reroll. I'm going to spend a treat.
Get rid of the treats early.
You start with one treat.
Oh, you start one?
Yep.
Oh, well, never mind then. I just spent it. Okay.
You can have a max of three.
So, I got one success.
You're dragging it. It's going slow, and here comes the car.
Okay, so Sploosh would like jump in, and I mean maybe even like shoulder Partita out of the way. Like, I am the right cat for this job.
Going. Yeah, you are the right cat for the job. So go ahead. It's a normal.
All right, I'm the right cat for this job, and I'm rolling two dice, and I got a six and a three.
That's good.
So that is two happy cats.
Two happy cats, and then one automatic success. So there's three successes right there.
I feel like Spruce just picks up Mr. Midnight in his mouth and leaps back to the sidewalk.
The car whizzes by, swerving a little bit, almost as if it wants to try to hit you, Partita, as you're still partially there on the sidewalk and the street.
I arch my back and bounce out of the way.
Yeah, so's your old man.
You are able to get out of the way.
Spluche spits out Mr. Midnight.
Mr. Midnight, this is what you see. You see, in the moonlight, oblong pieces of stone sticking up out of the ground. You see a stone angel beneath a tree. You see cast iron fencing topped with spikes. You see a sign that says Lazarus Bay Cemetery. And then you awaken. You are covered in other cat's drool.
That stuff stinks so bad.
Excuse me, I'm very there like, clean.
Tastes like shampoo.
Ugh, get your disgusting and just starts to go into a cleaning frenzy. Get this off of me. Oh, where's my brush when I need it? Oh, dear God.
Wait a minute. I beg your pardon.
Dude, did you really have to slobber all over me that much? Like,
would it be too
really?
Much to expect some gratitude?
You fainted in the road.
Sorry.
Are you okay?
I saw something. There was these oblong objects, like, standing up out of the ground. There was a stone angel. It was a cemetery. Do we need to get to the cemetery to, like, figure this out? Is this what we need to do to figure out how to get into physics? Do we really need to go to the cemetery?
Do we know how far away the cemetery is from Fizzy's, Patrick, from our time as the little old ladies?
Yes. It isn't a short distance in cat meters, yeah. But it's not super, I mean,
it's a small town.
Yeah, it's not doable.
All right, well, we're not having any luck getting into the Fizzy's, so maybe we give the cemetery a try. Quick like, though, I don't think we got any time to waste.
I agree. If we needed to go to the cemetery, I feel like our fishy friend should have told us about it. But
while this is true, I still think that I wonder if it has to do with something at Fizzy's gravesite.
Well, maybe we either need to access Fizzy's through the cemetery, like the magic is a funnel that will take us to Fizzy's, or we need something from the cemetery.
Do we actually get to summon a spirit? I am so stoked, man.
Okay, well, I think we need to get there fast, so I'll see you there.
Do you really just take off without us?
Not if I don't see you there, and I take off.
And Mr. Midnight is left standing there on the sidewalk.
You see, like, the most awkward, like, shrug that a cat can do, and wants to go into a run, but since he's a show cat, it's very prancy.
Oh my God, yeah.
And looks like a horse doing a prance kind of
he's
thing.
He's doing like dressage, cat dressage.
So it's faster than normal walk, however, but it's not as fast as they're going. LJ's trying to like really figure out the difference between, because there's a cat's grace that all of them have. And just really trying to, you see that transition where he understands the prance from the show cat, but starts to feel that feline energy and tries to draw on that to catch up as best he can.
All right. I need an easy challenge from everyone.
Okay. Ooh,
we all roll two then.
Two D6s. You need at least one because you've all, in very cat-like manner, kind of gone different routes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even against your contemporary now sensibilities.
Yeah, I'm cat parkouring across roofs and just like jumping from trees to fences to like clotheslines, you know. I got one success.
Two successes for Mr. Midnight.
I got one success. I rolled a one.
Mm. Ooh, do I actually pass you all?
Oh my God, it'd be so funny if we're like
we're
racing
all like
each other
slinking
through the night
around
and we see this
you see this fancy little like prance at first that like builds up and starts to get faster and faster, and like you see Mr. Midnight like edging ahead of everybody.
Yeah, this little flying ball of long hair just like
we get a meme
Ooh. Here,
yay.
Wherein the cartoon version of Mr. Midnight is zooming along the street, passing the other cat. And the caption there says, "I think I hear dinner bell."
I think I hear dinner bell.
All of you are able to get to the Lazarus Bay Cemetery. It is actually on the way up to the lighthouse, but down a side street before you actually leave town. It takes you to the front gates, and then it kind of opens into this wooded cemetery that has these old trees, you know, pretty big, you know, trees growing in it, maples and some oaks. And indeed, there are tombstones all over. There are a couple of mausoleums. There are the statues. You are here at the gates. The gates are closed for the evening because it is late. And this cast iron fence surrounds the cemetery, cast iron and stonework. So there's no easy way of slipping through the bars, but it could be done, or you could try to go over. What is the route you think you would like to take for each of your cats?
I would go over, probably.
I think Sploosh is probably too big to do anything but over, from what you were just describing.
And Mr. Midnight walks right up to the front gate, looks back to see his friends, notice that they're not there, and looks to each side and seeing that they're leaping over the wall, and puts his head towards the gate, because the funny thing about cat whiskers is they normally grow out to the length that the cat can fit through. So as Mr. Midnight pushes his snout through the bars, do the whiskers touch the bars?
Well, let's find out how things go for everyone. This is a normal challenge. I believe that already tonight I was messing that up. But, you know, don't know how to play this game. So with the normal challenge, a single success means that you will make a little progress or gain a little information, but you don't quite complete the task at hand. You'll have to change tacks and try again. Two successes on the other paw means that the challenge is accomplished first try. Probably the easiest that's going to happen here is going to be our catcrobat.
Mm-hmm.
So Partita, would you give it a go? You are the right cat for the job.
Woo-hoo.
So you will have one success automatically.
I got 2 fours, which is 2 other successes.
Okay. Looking good for Partita as you just go flying up over the barricade, such as it is. Now, Sploosh is having to scrabble a bit more to try to get some paw holds. So let's see how this goes for Sploosh.
3 and a 4.
Nice.
You get over, not with quite as much grace and agility as Partita. For our poofy but slender cat.
What? I'm fluffy.
He's probably on a restricted diet.
It's good though. Sushi every Tuesday and Thursday.
It's prescribed by my vet.
Health comes first.
What a lustrous coat.
One success.
Yeah.
One happy cat, one sad cat.
You think you can make it. It's going to be a little tight. You're going to get a little dirty if you do it.
Yeah, dude.
Bum, bum,
Go ahead and do it anyway. But, like, as soon as I'm through, like, the iron bars, immediately instincts kick in, and LJ reverts to the Mr. Midnight and just starts furiously cleaning themselves.
Excellent. But you do all find yourself on the inside of the wall surrounding the cemetery. And here there is a ground mist rising almost to cat head height, but it's thin. It's not blocking your view any. There's another level of fog and mist that's perhaps at about a human chest height. And you can see places around the cemetery. All three of you, especially Mr. Midnight, can see swirls and patterns almost in the fog and the mist, where it almost takes shapes. What Mr. Midnight sees is the very clear shape of human ghosts here and there throughout the cemetery.
Do I recognize Fizzy in any of them?
Not at this point, no. They're too far away to gain any definition of detail.
Follow me, and I head into the mist and just try to, like, keep my eye out, like, back and forth, like, the pupils, instead of, like, little thin slits, have, like, dilated so they almost look like jaguars or panthers, like, when they're really, like, opening up mm-hmm. their irises. And just heads in, and you just see this head sweeping back and forth and is looking for anything similar to Fizzy.
Give me a... you are the right cat for this job.
Excellent.
So give me a normal difficulty check here. You will already have one success.
And that's two more with double fours.
Nice.
You spot the angel that was in your unconscious dream moment underneath a tree.
Oh, the stone angel. I was like, wait a minute.
A few feet away is a tombstone with a new grave dug in front of it. But it's filled. It's not open. Just in case you were wondering. And the headstone says on it, Andrew, ; Fizzy, ; Baloo.
Aww.
But there is no ghost.
Do we dig? Asking to Grace and Slushy.
I'll start by sniffing around or looking at the tombstone and seeing if there's anything graven on it that looks mystical or besides the words.
Yeah, Sploosh would kind of be like winding around the gravestone and walking over the grave and like lying down on the grave and rolling over and pawing the air.
Mr. Midnight is actually going to start to paw at the ground a little bit and like keeps looking at the dirty paw. And then putting it back down and digging a little bit more and then keeps looking at the dirty paw.
Sploosh, give me a... I think this one has to be a difficult challenge. You're not quite... This is definitely a mystical-y thing going on here.
Okay. Well, it's a 5 and a 3 on the dice.
Ooh!
How far does that get me?
That gets you what you need. You have to get 2 successes. And so you hear, you all hear, "Why, stop rolling around on my grave." And then a misty figure rises up, not really rises up, but almost comes swirling out of the fogs of the cemetery. But it's right there at the grave, and it is Fizzy Baloo.
Partita meows and makes like she's rubbing his legs. As I'm a house cat.
He reaches down and scratches behind your ears, and then he gives you 3 strokes Woo! Along your back and gives you a treat.
Awesome.
As you are out of treats.
I feel that the treat distribution so far has been ineffective.
We need to do more amusing things. Yeah.
You see a moment with Mr. Midnight where all of the fur like fluffs out and there's a lot of it. Oh my god, there's so much fur. But the hackles rise up on the back of the neck, the tail fluffs out to like 5 times its size, and he backs up just a little bit, but then settles in. You see the hair start to like calm down back into the regular body, which is still really fucking fluffy. But then he sits and looks up at Fizzy. It's like, "It's you we came for."
"Well, now, I don't know none of you cats. None of you are any of my cats. What's going on here?"
"If I said moonshine, would you know what I was talking about?"
"Well, that would be, sure. Well, that would be, Rosanna's, cat, Moonshine."
"Yes, but I am not Moonshine."
"Well, I know that."
"Anybody else?"
I'll look up at him and go, "We need your help."
He sits down on his tombstone, and there's suddenly a banjo in his hand, and he just starts plucking away at it.
Cue for a banjo solo, isn't it, Patrick?
Hell yeah. Bust that thing out right now.
So he seems to be understanding what the other cats are saying.
He did not initially, but he kind of cocks his head at you, and he goes, "Well, I can almost understand what you're saying, and I understood what you were saying real good. Huh. Well, this being dead
Fizzy, there might be a ritual going on under your shop. We need to get there."
He's kind of like hearing meow, 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 meow.
Wow. We need to, there might be a ritual under your shop.
There might be a ritual underneath your shop.
Oh, wow.
So, here's the story. The three of us you see here before you.
Just start listening at season one.
We three are favored customers of yours, and you know us well. We are Rosanna, Olivia, and Winnie. We are the murder, or sorry, mystery mavens.
No, it was murder mavens.
True, but mystery sounds less ominous.
When you die, you became cats?
Well, we performed the ritual, and we need to figure out a way to get past some magical barrier that is protecting your shop. I am so sad that you are gone, Fizzy. You were a loved one by all three of us. Trust me.
Oh, well, that's real sweet of you. Well, I always knew there was something down there underneath the shop. I always kind of thought of myself as a protector. I mean, that was why the cats always seem to be like, you know, real protective of the space, too. Huh. So you need to get in, and there's some sort of magical barricade.
Yes.
What kind of barricade is it?
We can't understand. Every time we go towards this field of magic, we get turned around.
Oh, well, He plays a few chords on the banjo, thinking. He goes, well, yeah, I may know something about... Oh, goodness. With the oh, goodness... You see him looking past the three of you, and as you turn and look to see what he's looking at, you see several ghosts coming toward you. They're only vaguely human in aspect to Sploosh and to Partita, but to Mr. Midnight, they reek of evil. The colors are all bad, and their eyes are red and fierce.
Instantly, you see this head whip, noticing where Fizzy's eyesight has trained onto from Mr. Midnight. And it's almost like when you see, like, the movie shots of where the sexy woman, like, flips her hair as she's standing up out of the water. And you see, like, the droplets, like, spring off of her hair. Except for it's a cat whipping its head to the side. Ooh. And you see this beautiful mane, like, swish from side to side, but then all of a sudden it focuses on the face and the eyes narrow to these tiny slits instead of the open ones that you saw before, to these narrow slits, and the brows like drop down as like an intense stare focusing on this instance that is coming towards us and or Fizzy and trying to figure out what it is.
Mr. Midnight, you know that. And this is something that LJ does not know, but it's there. The knowledge is there that cats can see and touch and interact with spirits, talk to them, be understood by them. Tiger dreamers, such as yourself, are better at it than others, but all cats can, you know, speak with the dead, with this, you know, with spirits, with supernatural creatures of all sorts. Therein, in your mind, also comes the knowledge that there are supernatural creatures of all sorts. You also know that you can hurt things like ghosts, that claw scratches to the supernatural is almost like worse than claw scratches to humans.
Iron to a ghost or a wooden stake to a vampire.
Sure.
Okay.
Cats are always the weapon of choice against the supernatural. Although no one knows that except for cats.
They are reeking of evil. Again, you see Mr. Midnight's fur puff out to like three times the size than Mr. Midnight is. Because of all the hair.
Just puffer fishes.
I mean, it's LJ, dude. Gotta look cool. So you see all of the fur once again. The hackles rise up. The tail floofs out. And with those narrow slits, looks back to both Grace and Sloshy as Partita and Sploosh.
I think it's time to rumble, dude.
Rumbling is what I do. I get the sense.
I think Partita's instinct actually is to kind of melt away into the shadows. Because Partita is into surprise attacks. So she wants to...
Oh, you're the rogue this round. Okay. Uh-huh.
She wants to hide an ambush.
Okay. Mr. Midnight has said this. I think the first cat to probably react is going to be Sploosh.
Sploosh gets tore in.
So this is going to be an opposed roll. So what do you do, I guess? I mean, I say it's going to be an opposed roll, but I don't know what you're going to do yet.
Sploosh hears rumble and takes a running leap at the nearest spooky thing. Claws extended, like back claws extended, going with the fore claw to the face maneuver.
Nice. As so beautifully memed by Mr. Midnight in the last episode.
I'll take it. Is it midnight in the story? Because it's midnight on my dice.
Oh, hell yes!
That's great.
You do get to choose here how this looks. With a midnight here, you're going to be able to... Does it kill it? Who knows? Maybe Mr. Midnight knows, but you don't know, Sploosh. But it's certainly going to send it back into the mist from which it was formed. So... What does it look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like sails through the air. The front forepaws to the temples of whatever this thing is, and the back feet are just like making bloody biscuits out of the rest of its face.
Mechanically, it is larger than a cat, but because of the way that spirit forms work and such here in our little world, you leap onto this thing and there is substance. But it's a very ephemeral, very ethereal substance. You almost plunge into it as if the closest thing that Sploosh would probably get is as if you were in a pile of garbage, but toward the top, and you're just kind of going into it here and there. It sort of evaporates under you, and you land on the ground hissing as you see the other ghostly figures of evil intent. Also continuing to come closer. But we have a pause for a meme.
Pause.
I've got four paws.
Yeah. Between the three of us, we have 12 paws.
In this cartoon version of this, there is Sploosh, like with just facing the audience, paws up, the claws out, and... above it is swimming this ghostly figure, as if the cat is underwater, and this ghostly figure is swimming along the surface of the water. And then above that are just, in big letters, claws.
I like it.
Next time I'll wear my claws t-shirt. How about Partita?
Okay, so Partita would like to... dash out of the shadows and try and surprise or distract one of the ghosts that Sploosh has not just poofed into dust.
This will also be opposed. Oh, by the way, Eric, for your midnight, I'm implementing a house rule. If you roll midnight, you also get a treat.
Nice. I'll take it.
Partita. Let's roll some opposed checks here. You are not the right cat for this job, but...
Yeah, I'm not. Is there any other, like, fighting mechanic besides just the scrapping rules?
Nope.
Okay.
It's all very simple. The main rule book for Cats of Cthulhu is 37 pages long.
Yeah. So mechanically, there's nothing cool about going in the shadows except it looks rad. Well, I rolled a 1 and a 2, but I just got treat. I just got a treat, though, that I can spend now to... Actually, wait, can we re-roll those for... Do treats work on fights?
You can't re-roll double ones.
It's not double ones. It's a 1 and a 2.
Okay. You can re-roll that.
Yeah. Spend that treat that Fizzy gave me. 2 4s for 2 successes.
Nice.
No sad cats over here on my side.
Woohoo!
So you may describe your sneaking and then what are you doing?
Well, I wanted to either distract by, you know, making one of the ghosts like follow me or just hurt it, I guess. I'm looking at the results and there's not a great distraction. Would stun work in this case, or is the ghost not?
Yeah, you can definitely stun them.
Yeah, so I want to get it distracted, so I guess that's the closest thing. So yeah, I'll just like run up, bat its foot a couple of times, and then dash immediately off into the shadows again.
And it looked startled for a moment, its red eyes, they were, you know, slits, but then they opened wide as you came out of nowhere and whoosh, whoosh, and then you are gone, back into the night, into the dark, in the dark.
Shadows. With the echoes.
What about you, Mr. Midnight?
As both Partita and Sploosh have leapt into action, almost literally, Mr. Midnight takes a more cautionary approach, and you see that, like, hunkered down, like, stalking. How many of these entities do we see?
That's a great question.
It's hard for Partita and Sploosh to really pick them out, you know, from the mists and the fogs. But Mr. Midnight, I would say that you are able to count four of them.
Focusing on ones that have not specifically been entangled with either Partita or Sploosh, Mr. Midnight.
Before you make your choice, I will say that mechanically, if an opponent takes two stuns in a row, they might flee.
Mm. So if you tried to hit the same one that I just hit.
Is there anyone that is particularly closer?
They are closing in, so they're all about the same distance away. I mean, in cat terms, a few strides for a cat.
Then I would probably, both LJ and Mr. Midnight would try to split the difference and attack ones that aren't currently engaged.
Okay.
If that is the case. So you see Mr. Midnight hunker down and like do that little stalking cat thing, that pause, that little wiggle butt. You see the tail flick a couple of times and then would try to pounce on the nearest one possible with a couple of claw strikes.
All right, so you're scrapping away.
Which I am not the right cat for this job.
Definitely not the right cat for the job.
But I see them clearly. A happy cat and a sad cat.
You ram at them, but as you do so, you realize that you are, of course, different than the other cats. And you don't run into this thing as if it were a partially physical being. You just run into it, like literally into it.
Oh.
Inside, you are surrounded by its malevolence, its earthly mortal desires for power and for control and rule. You realize that somehow this is Cindy Louise, that these aren't, in fact, ghosts, but the astral projections of some of the cultists in town.
By the way, Astral Cultists, new punk band name.
Oh, hell yeah.
While you are inside here, although you don't make any achievements towards stunning or hurting or anything, what you do see are the astral threads that connect these creatures to their... You see it weaving away through the night anyway, and you know that to cut those is to sever their connection altogether.
I'm gonna bite some string.
Cut the string. Yes, cut the link, cut the string.
Ah, string. It brings up such images in all of your heads. Oh, the wonder of string. Oh, all that can be done with it.
My pupils get really big. Well, you don't have to approach the astral projections to snap their strings. I follow it a ways away so they can't get me and start to chew in.
Yeah, because now that Mr. Midnight has said it, you too can all see these astral threads. So, Sploosh, what do you do?
Oh, man. Sorry, the instinct is just too strong. Call on some threads. Sorry, what happened to the Moop guy dive bomb?
You exploded it.
Yeah, you essentially made it into a mist. What Mr. Midnight can, you know, could tell you later is that likely means that you have put the cultist who was astrally projecting into a fair bit of pain and suffering.
Good.
But to cut the astral thread, Mr. Midnight, means to cast them adrift into astral space.
Well, I rolled a 5 and a 3 to set this ship adrift, or somebody's ship.
I have nothing to counter that with. So, yeah, what do you bite at it? Do you claw at it? What's it look like when
claws,
you attack it?
Definitely claws. I mean, it's just like a bub, 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 you know, through as many threads as he can get through. It's like Candy Crush for cats.
He's the De La Hoya of cats.
Yeah, you get all tangled up in the threads.
Flip over on your back, drag them all over the floor.
Turned into a spider web ninja.
The goddess of fate is knitting with them, and she's like, no, get out of my thread.
bad, where's my spray bottle?
And there is a terrible screech of the essence of this person. What you see is, as you cut the string with your claws, this thread with your claws, the form doesn't dissipate like the other one did. Instead, it spins almost and spins away into the night sky.
Into the dark.
In the dark.
In the night.
In the shadow. In the echoes of our memory.
Partita, there are two left.
Yeah.
One of which actually has Mr. Midnight kind of inside of it, as if he's caught inside of a bit of a gelatinous cube kind of situation, or, you know, some floaty jelly.
Well, I wouldn't want to leave my best buddy LJ stuck in a gelatinous astral projectant. I'm going to go fairly far, like, distant from the ghosts, so they can't, like, get me back. I'm going to go to the astral string of the one that's got Mr. Midnight in it and bite that string. I'm going to just chew it. Chop it.
Roll it.
It is a 3 and a 6.
Yeah.
I have a sad cat face over here, but that's not enough to overwhelm your
woo
successes. And you bite through this. Again, there's this whirling. For a moment, Mr. Midnight is carried upward several feet before he drops out of this spinning form as it wheels off into the night. Into the
dark. Take that, Cindy Louise!
But it tasted horrible, and you make this just horrendous kitty face.
Oh, I'm doing that thing, actually, that really long cats do, where they grimace. You know how cats that are really long and skinny, like, have a really, like, their corners of their mouth pull way the hell back, and their eyes all slit up, and they're just the weirdest looking grimace.
We have a freeze moment, where we have a meme, and we have that very look, and the caption says, "When you eat too fast and puke, but you made it to the carpet on time."
Fucking cats.
That's so accurate.
It is. Why can they not puke on the linoleum or the tile?
I know.
Those motherfucking cats.
Oh my God. I'm yelling at my cats right now.
That is 3 down and 1 to go. Who's going for it?
As I'm falling, am I anywhere near the other bunny cultist, Mr. Midnight?
how we're rounding the circle.
Well, let's find out. Give me a roll. I think this is kind of tricky, so it is going to be, I think it is going to be a difficult challenge for you to be like right over one when you kind of let go.
Okay.
But because it is supernaturally ghosty stuff, I will call you still the right cat for the job.
Ooh, so I get a bonus.
Yeah, you get 1 automatic success.
I rolled snake eyes.
Oh, no!
Well, and I have 1 sad cat face over here on mine, too.
Oh, my goodness.
You fall right for one of them, and it reaches up with, like, these ectoplasmic hands and grabs you and starts shaking the life out of you. Mr. Midnight.
You hear the most horrible, wailing, kitty, whiny bullshit. How could you do this to me? Kind of thing.
My sister's cat does a...
Oh, the, like, the auto-tuned fluctuated stuff?
Yeah, she sounds like she's, like, whining.
Oh my God. And it is worse than that. It hurts the ears, and you hear this screech from a cat that sounds like they're dying for a moment.
You do take an injury.
I'm taking an injury?
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
Yeah.
And it is horrible. It sounds like, I don't know if for viewers and cast alike, if you've heard cats fighting, and the one that does get hurt the most when they finally walk away, that shame, that, oh, and I almost want to say Mr. Midnight walks away with a giant scar across his left eye and is bleeding and is looking and looks very sad, like, what is that cat? The grumpy cat. Like, has that total grumpy cat face.
Aww.
And you see the scar over the one eye and just the blood dripping down and just that total defeated look in his face. But then you also, I hope, see the eyes of LJ like flare in and those slits that were in the eyes flare back out to that like puma or mountain lion cougar kind of wideness. As like resolved to finish this fight, but still takes the injury.
So if Sploosh heard that, Sploosh would be just like right there in a cat flash.
Cat flash.
Doo 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 doo.
It's a six and
another six. And what? What was it? Oh, another six.
You have Mr. Midnight to rescue Mr. Midnight.
What's it look like?
Yeah, so, like, there's a yowl, and, you know, I kind of see Mr. Midnight tumbling away from this thing, and Sploosh is just barrels straight into the side, and, you know, knowing the string trick now, he just sort of, like, leaps up and comes down in one just vertical just rake through all these strings, and then he lands and says, "Don't mess with my friends."
That one whirls away into the ether. And now none of those projections are here any longer. Mr. Midnight, you could spend one of your ever so precious lives to immediately heal from this injury mechanically. You can keep your scar, but you would not be hurt any longer. If you keep the injury as is for the moment, you no longer will count as the right cat for the job for any physical challenge for the rest of the adventure.
Oh, no.
And all such challenges also become harder. An easy physical challenge becomes normal. Normal becomes difficult. A difficult challenge becomes dire, and therefore failure can lead to more injuries.
Heck.
Now, here's the thing. We don't know how many lives you have because we didn't roll for yours last time. So roll a 1d6, and I assume that you want this to indicate how many lives you...
And this is out of the average of 9. So I'm rolling 1d6 out of 9 lives. I'm going to go with lives used. 2.
So you have the most lives, actually. Everybody else just has 6 lives left. You have 7.
And the choice is...
to be injured and have difficulty with physical challenges, or to spend a life and just sort of shake it off.
I love the idea of spending the life, especially as Sploosh comes to the rescue and just kind of shaking it off, and you see like that blood like flick away from the fur, but there is a slight reminiscent of that scar left across the left eye. I imagine like after all of that and the wounds that Mr. Midnight took, taking a moment to lick the wounds kind of thing, but at the same time noticing Sploosh and the connection there and just kind of doing that cat on cat like body rub, like where they start at the chin and they kind of like roll to the side and go all the way along the body as like a thank you kind of thing.
So so Sploosh like stiffens at first. Sploosh stiffens at first and then kind of relaxes a little bit. And then when Mr. Midnight kind of gets done and comes around again, just sort of like standing, drops her shoulder into Mr. Midnight and like knocks Mr. Midnight back and says, "That's for that one time you
destroyed my head with a saw leg or whatever that was.
I'm sorry about that, dude. Know that I got your fucking back.
I come over and, I don't think Grace is into the full body rubs, but I do a slow blink and I'm like, we apologized for that already.
Oh, the slow blink is great. What a great little cat thing, the slow blink.
Fizzy does come over and go, wow, that was some of the best cat fighting I ever saw against them there ghost things. Wow, that's real good stuff. And he pets all of you, but far too many times for you to actually get treats out of it. And while you all were fighting there, I was thinking things through, and I think I got just the thing for you. Now, I think that to enter my old shop, you're going to need to do it by going through what they call the dream realms. You're going to need to, like, enter the dreamlands and pass through that way. And I know, you know, only cats can do that. That's what I hear.
I sit down and I do that thing where a cat looks like my tip of my tail flicking back and forth. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, we already did a spell to turn ourselves into cats to get into this thing. And then we still couldn't do it. And now we have to fight ghosts and walk through dreams.
Get to the good shit already. Yeah. Yeah, that kind of like attitude. It's like, yeah, we know that.
And Fizzy see this, and he has had enough cats for long enough to know, you know, what those motions mean. And in fact, that is your language, as mm-hmm. well as the meows and such. It is the way you move, the things you do. And he goes, yeah, well, I get it for sure. And it'll be much easier if when you do that, you take something of mine with you, so that will give you sort of a key, sort of a compass to go into the old bookshop. So you'll need something of mine.
Well, what could we use?
Does ectoplasm count?
Oh, I don't think so. And he looks at you all, and he looks at his grave.
Does it have
and he
to
looks
be
back at you all, and he looks back at his grave.
Sploosh starts digging.
We're cats. That would take a while.
We'll best get to it then, and we'll find out what happens next time on the Gothic Podcast.
Oh, at the same time, this is so much fun. I love being a cat.
The Gothic Podcast is a horror and humor actual play audio drama produced by Goblin Brook Manor, LLC. Season 5 of The Gothic Podcast stars C. Patrick Nagel, Sharon Gallery LaFournaise, Jesse Baldwin, and Eric Halbert. Our theme music is by Zoe Hovland, and our logo is by Jared George Art. Liking, sharing, and reviewing us on iTunes really helps us get more listeners. And please consider supporting us on our Patreon or joining the conversation on our Discord channel. Links and more in the show notes. Thanks for joining us in the dark, Sojourners.
When we laughed, Patrick's screwing up the intro.
Beep.
Okay. Strike that then.
Strike the gasp that you made without making any sound and the imagery that you had of your face on this podcast.
Yes, sure. Please.
I will cut that out.
Audio medium.
It's the wrong book. Wrong book.
Patrick looks for the right book.
The right book for the job.
The right book for the job. I had a coworker once with a great story about an older lady cat who flung herself onto the face of a bear that was approaching their house.
Holy
one time.
Shit.
Yeah, did that thing, grabbed it by like both ears, and then did that thing, you know, when cats like rabbit kick something on the bear's face? And that's what I'm picturing happening right now.
Absolutely.
Bloody Biscuits.
I want that as the meme. Bloody Biscuits.
Oh, wait. Can that be the episode title? Bloody Biscuits. It sounds like a campfire story that you would tell each other when you were six, you know? Bloody Biscuits. Bloody Biscuits.
No.
No.